Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, it's the Roundtable Rad Reality Show version, and what a show tonight!
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. Tonight, we have special guests. Everyone sit back and enjoy, but we're going to kick it off with our intro. Let's get the show on the road.
One, two, three.
I don't know what's going on, Paul.
Everything's fine.
Tuesday.
Go ahead, Dave.
Wednesday.
I'm feeling blue. I'm helpless now.
Without you. Thursday.
I can't stop it in the background.
Friday.
I'm out of my mind.
Saturday.
And Sunday, too. It's hopeless now.
Welcome, Real World fans. Welcome to the Reality Roundtable Show here on the Rad Reality Show Network. My name is Cherry Garcia. On air with me is Paul from Minnesota. And I have some feedback going on, and I don't know where it's coming from. Let me try to fix this real quick. This is a first. I've never had this happen before, but I'm going to stop it right now. Okay. As I said, my name is Cherry Garcia. Paul from Minnesota is with me on air, and on this lovely evening of January 16th, 2014, we have an exciting guest for everyone tonight, Jenny Delich. From the Real World Explosion is going to be in the house with us tonight. I can't wait because I have so many questions I want to ask her. I've been a fan of Real World since season one, but our show is here to connect you, our fans, to the reality stars you love. So get your dialing fingers ready to call in at 1-347-237-5506. And myself and Paul will be happy to share our time with Jenny with all of you, won't we, Paul?
I don't know. I got a lot of questions. I might let somebody ask her one, but hi, Cherry.
How are you, Paul?
I'm doing well. As you said, this lovely evening, I looked at my computer's temperature, and it's not so lovely up here again. We're only at 7 degrees up in Minnesota and Minneapolis, but otherwise, I agree. It is a good evening, and I looked at my DVR, and I'm looking forward to several other shows that I'm taping right now to watch when we're done, because that's what we're about. We're about reality shows. I was going to comment as well. You've been a real world watcher since season one. I actually started in season two, and I immediately found season one so I could go back and watch it. And so I was able to see season one. But season two was at, I think it was L.A. But, yeah, that goes way back. 1992, I think, was the first season. So it is one that we've been watching a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And this season, they certainly changed it up and added a new twist to the show. And we've all been waiting with bated breath for it to start. And boy, is it good.
I know. Sherry, I will never forget the night that you read the synopsis or, you know, short description of what the new season would be about. And it was like, holy cow, I can't wait for it to start. And then we watched the first episode, and they have that countdown timer to when the X's show up. And it only counted down 2 days. And I thought, no, hurry up. At least the second episode, we chopped a few days off. But it's still... You know, my anticipation for when they show up is still very high.
I know. They are certainly allowing them to get comfy and cozy with each other before the exes arrive. And they're doing that quite well.
oh yeah.
But they certainly have a surprise in store for them. And you know, kind of mean in a way, you know, what they're doing. But then on the other hand, this cast was so nice to each other that they needed a little bit of something thrown in to mix it up, you know.
Well,
when Arielle had the hamburger and grease thrown in her face, I thought that was going to cause an uproar. Ashley was like out of her mind, loaded, and if she would have done that to the girl that was in the house last year, Naya would have tossed her out the window. No question asked. I mean, Naya would have just thrown her right out the window. But Arielle is such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
The way she responded to that whole situation was so calm and respectful and level-headed.
Well,
I was just blown away. I was like, they really cast this girl for the real world? And she's handling the situation like this? Really? You know, that's not people they cast for the real world. You know,
I know.
I mean, she just really handled that situation in such an adult, thoughtful manner. I was like, oh, my gosh, you don't see that kind of thing.
Absolutely not.
I was blown away.
Yeah, that was surprising. I don't know if she's had it done to her before, so it wasn't that big a deal. I hope not.
Who has that done to them?
Nobody. Nobody. But, Ashley's, that was the first episode. It was the Ashley episode, I think. I mean, she certainly came out of the, you know, out of the gates as being the troublemaker.
The pot
stirrer, you know,
right.
The pot stirrer. Oh, yes, absolutely the pot stirrer.
Yeah, she's got a big old spoon
always,
in her hand right now. But she keeps saying in the background, I'm just going to keep being nice, you know, so nice to them that they can't help but love me. So I hope we get to see a nicer side of Ashley.
Well, she also at the same time in episode 2 went off on Jamie when Jamie was trying to be nice to her. So I don't know if it is for everybody in the house or just, yeah, I wonder how she would do in the Big Brother house. I wonder how a lot of these people would do, because we're Big Brother people here too. And we wonder how they would do, but anyway, I don't know. What happened at the beginning with Blog Talk, but everything was fine. Just to let you know, everything was working fine on my end. It just something was weird for you. It sounded like, huh?
Yeah. I've talked with her, and she is just a sweetheart. And I can't wait to find out what she thinks about being out of Missouri, you know, because she's my Missouri girl. And as a matter of fact, she just showed up on the switchboard. So let's bring her up. I believe that's her. Let me check and make sure, since you haven't screened the call.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave you alone, but I certainly can do that.
Do you want to go ahead and just check and make sure?
All righty. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. I have so many questions, and for those of you in the chat room, you have questions. I will be taking questions in the chat room as well as on the switchboard as well, so get your fingers ready to dial in. Jenny is super, super sweet and would love to take your calls as well as any that you may want to put in the chat room. So
here we go.
We do have her ready to come on the air, so let's bring her on. Jenny, thank you so much for calling in. How are you, girl?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You're on with Cherry Garcia and Paul from Minnesota. We have Jenny, and I'm going to let you pronounce your last name because I really don't want to mess it up, and tell everybody how your last name is pronounced.
It's Delich, but I'm Delich. Pretty sure everyone since my childhood has had a hard time pronouncing it, so I might just let America just say Delish. That's kind of what everybody wants to pronounce it like. I'm not
well,
mad
you
at
are kind of Delish, Jenny. You have been Delish since you've been on MTV's Explosion.
Thank you.
I mean, this whole season is Delish.
Delicious.
We've been waiting for this season since we read the description of how the season was going to come down. We have been waiting for this season, and you guys have just delivered it completely. And
awesome.
As we had mentioned earlier, we're still 21 days technically 2 weeks TV wise from the exes coming in the house, and already so much has happened just with you know, the few episodes that we've seen. And gosh, there's so much to talk about, and we don't want to miss anything. So let's just get started. The first thing that I would like to know right off the bat is that we all know that everybody in here, I think, is Real World fans. And we've been watching for years. I've been watching since season one. Most of us have been watching many seasons. But if you were to describe to somebody who's never heard of the Real World, what Real World Explosion is and what you did on the show, what would you say?
So you're asking if somebody has never heard of the Real World, doesn't know about the Real World, how would I explain to them what the show is?
Right. What would you say the Real World Explosion is and what you did on the show?
All right. So here's going to be my pitch. We have seven strangers picked to live in a house who develop relationships and try to get to know each other. And then halfway through the season, unexpectedly, the exes show up. They had no idea, and then everything just crumbles.
Well, hi, Jenny, again.
Hi.
This is Paul from Minnesota. I'm curious, how long have you been a Real World fan? How many seasons have you watched?
I've been kind of off and on. I remember the seasons that stood out to me most was I did watch Las Vegas. I've watched Las Vegas, Hawaii, and San Diego. I watched some other ones, but those are the ones that I remember the most.
Okay, here is my question. Now, certainly it's not out of the ordinary for producers to, you know, question you about your life and to have them ask you about your exes and bring that up. Probably didn't send off any flags for you, but my question is this. This is, from my memory, the first Real World that does not have an opener of the cast saying, this is a true story of seven strangers picked to live in a house, work together, and have their lives taped to find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real. The Real World, and then they say the city. So I'm wondering, you as a fan, did you wonder why the producers weren't asking you to do that, or did they do that and you didn't realize?
No, they didn't ask us to do that. I just figured with all the changes that were going on, like, for example, they gave us the iPhones in the show, and they also, the iPhones were the only things I was aware of that was a big difference. Before I knew the actors were coming in, I guess by the end of it, they probably wouldn't have recorded that until the end of the show anyway. Of the whole seven strangers picked to live in a house, you know, they probably wouldn't do that in the beginning, because they wanted to kind of create everything fresh and strange, and you know, I don't know what the house looks like, and I walk in, that's my first reaction. So if they did do that at the end, the fact that they didn't, it didn't surprise me because the exes came in, and that's not normal. So nothing was really normal this season.
Right. So there
when
were no
did you first
red
know that
flags?
You wanted to go on a reality TV show?
I want to be on reality TV ever since I was a little wee lad. I always wanted to be on TV, or I always kind of have this like fixation with being a center of attention, I guess, and I always felt like I always want to be in a position where I can influence the world from a very selfish standpoint. The selfish standpoint is, yeah, I want attention, who doesn't? But the people who, there's more of a selfless standpoint where I feel like I've had a lot of really life-enriching experiences, and there's a lot of things that I've learned, a lot that I've learned growing up that I want to have a story to tell. I want to tell America my story, and I could do that if I'm on the TV or on the silver or on the movies.
Aww, that's so awesome.
Thanks.
So can you tell us a little bit about how you wound up getting cast on The Real World Explosion? What was the process that you went through?
Well, I don't remember where I saw. I think it was on Facebook or something. Something popped up when I was on the computer doing something totally irrelevant to The Real World, and something popped up in my email or somewhere, and it said that they're casting for the next season. I was like, oop, and that was like I don't even remember how long ago that was. That was like so long ago, I can't remember. Like over, like maybe a year ago? I can't really remember. Well, I applied a long time ago, and the only thing it did, it said on there something about sending in a tape, or you could send in pictures or videos, and or just like a bio, written bio, whatever. So I didn't really have a tape made. So what I did is I just sent in some pictures and an email with like a short bio about myself and a lot of pictures, because the pictures is 1,000 words. I could write, you know, I could have written nothing and I could say everything to the pictures, you know. So a lot of pictures, a little bit of writing, and then I just went on about my life, and literally like, I want to say 3-4 months later, like I'd forgotten all about it. And then I just get an email, not a phone call, just an email, just being like, hey, we want you to fill out this short questionnaire. Like, it wasn't like what you would expect. It kind of caught me off guard. I had to like think for a minute, what is this email for? And then I realized it was for The Real World. And I was like, oh, okay, it's in a short questionnaire. Then it turned into a long questionnaire. Then it turned into interviewing my whole friends and family. I mean, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And the casting process took like probably like 4 months, 3 months, something like that. So it was a long process.
Really? Okay, kind of piggybacking on that, we saw when you received the phone call in the car that you were actually chosen to be on Real World Explosion, and I was wondering how they set it up for you to happen, to be being taped at the moment that you got that phone call. How did that happen?
Well, they came for what they call a home visit. So they would come and basically they would come and have a like come visit your house, maybe have some friends over. They would follow you to like a location or whatever. A lot of that I realized wasn't shown. But we did go for a little ride around in my neighborhood. Went and drove down like Hollywood Boulevard. It's just up the street because I didn't want to show Koreatown. I mean, I live in Koreatown, but I mainly spend most of my time in Hollywood. So I took them up and down Hollywood. And then they were like, somebody said something about my phone and how it was on. I turned on silent because, you know, we were filming. And somebody was like, you should turn your phone on silent or something. I'm like, what? I turned my phone on silent. I'm like, okay, I got a call. I'm like, hello? And then that was the phone call, and I'm like on camera, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, whoa, they really want to get my reaction, huh? Because I didn't know when they were coming. I thought it was for the finals. I didn't know it was for the real deal to tell me that I got it.
So all those reactions that we saw of each cast member was really real reactions and a real surprise to each of you.
Yeah, I mean, none of us, as far as I know, are world-renowned actresses. I mean, that was all 100% real. They did a really good job of hiding a lot of things from us. And naturally,
you
they
were
have
so
to
cute
do that.
Too. You were like, and I better go pack now.
Yeah. I was like, shit, I'm leaving at night. How am I going to do this? That was scary. Luckily, something just happened to fall through. I had my coworker from my job. She needed an apartment, and I just called her up with the same day. I was like, "Hey, do you want to move in my apartment while I'm gone? Because I'm gonna be gone for a while, and I don't know how I'm gonna pay my rent. Can you watch my cat?" Like I didn't know what to do. I was like freaking out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they give you like just a few hours notice, you don't have much time to, you know, line things up.
No, and I think that a lot of people in the past on The Real World have been like, I don't know, it's more of like a younger person thing. I mean, for someone who, some of the people I believe lived at home, prior to coming in the house. Like, I was one of the only people that had their own apartment. I'm pretty sure that's true, because I know a couple of people lived at home. I think Tom did. I think Jamie, I can't remember if Jamie did or not. But anyway, the point is that I thought to myself, how in the hell does anyone expect to, you'd have to really want this, because I pulled an all-nighter the night that I came. Like, when I came in and walked in the door, I tried to take a nap at the hotel before I came in. I tried to, but I really couldn't, because they wanted to schedule everything, and I had, like, a schedule to follow, and I just could not sleep. So when I walked in the house the first episode and you see me come in, that's on no sleep for literally 24 straight hours. I had no sleep. I was up for forever.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So
no sleep.
Wow.
So, Jenny, you in your opener said that you were from Kansas City. How long have you been out in the LA area?
I moved to LA a year ago.
Oh wow!
And, I moved here. I actually moved out here. That when I applied for the Real World, I was still living in Kansas City, and sorry, someone's calling me. Let me decline that. We still there? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So I already forgot the question. Oh, I moved out here. I moved out to California a year ago, and I applied for the Real World back when I was living in Kansas City. So that was even more of a shocker when I, because, you know, you don't connect the two. I'm not even living in the same place. I'd already moved. A lot had happened since I had applied, since they got back to me. And I moved out here to be an actress. And, like, not necessarily be in reality TV. If I got offered to be in reality TV, that's great. But from what I hear, and a lot of people in the film industry, they say if you're on a reality show, then you have very slim chance of being an actress. Jamie Chung from San Diego, she's a big actress now. So I really look up to her and try to follow in her footsteps, even though we don't have any close to the same personality at all. But when I first found out, I was like, well, damn, I moved all the way out here halfway across the country to be an actress, and now I'm getting this opportunity to be a reality star. And I had to make the decision, and it really dawned on me hard. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had to really think about it. But then I thought, this is a sign, you know, like, who gets offered to be, like, there's tons of people who would die to do this, you know, like, I can't say no. Like, this is something I obviously wanted to do at some point, and I still want to do it. So I was like, fuck it, you know, like, anything's possible. So I'll just do it, and then I'll still be an actress or a singer or a dancer, whatever. I want to be in entertainment no matter what, but I just took it and ran.
You show them, girl. You show them that you can do it all.
That's right.
Yeah. So
go ahead, Paul.
You were the second one into the house. I think Jamie was the first one. I'm curious, how much time passed as each housemate showed up? I mean, was there a lot of time that you spent with Jamie before Ariel showed up? How did that work?
No, probably like 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes, not very much. I mean, it was like pretty steadily over like probably the course of a couple hours, everyone had shown up.
This was the first year that I recall that they brought in all the women first. And then brought in the men.
It was interesting.
I don't think I recall a season where they brought in just the women first and then brought in the guys.
I found
that kind of interesting.
They normally have a couple of them meet up, like at an airport or outside somewhere, and they, you know, introduce themselves and show up like a guy and a girl together. That kind of thing is my recollection.
Yeah, that's
right.
What I remember too, and that's why I remember when I got into the airport and I was being taken there. That's what was so confusing, because I'm thinking, when I get off the plane, I'm looking for a camera, right? Like, I made sure my makeup was all done and playing. I'm like, all right, I'm ready. And I get out of the plane, and I'm like, wait a minute. Looking around, there's no camera, and I'm like, what? And, like, I'm just slowly walking the baggage claim, like, what's going on? Like, I don't – and then all of a sudden, there's, like, a PA standing there waiting to take me away, and I'm like, well, where's the camera? Like, this is weird. Like, this isn't the real world that I know. This is confusing. But I know that they showed Jamie in the airport, so they pick and chose, I suppose, who they were going to show at the airport. And it kind of gave a whole different dynamic to the show. It's really not the old Real World anymore.
All right. We've got a caller. Would you mind taking a call from one of our listeners?
I would love to.
Let's do this. Brian from New Jersey, how are you tonight?
Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
Wonderful. How are you, Brian?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Thank you for having me.
Do you have a question? Wonderful. Do you have a question for Jenny?
Hi, Brian.
Hello, Jenny. How are you? I don't know if you know who I am, but we just recently started following each other on Twitter. I've been following you so far since the season started, and I just have to say I've been so inspired by you because me and you are very relatable to in the sense of goals and our personality.
I am
working on trying to become a reality TV star and then move on to acting. As you know, how the process is not as, you know, easy, but I'm still trying day by day to get the hang of it. My question for you is, what kind of advice would you give somebody who is trying to get into this industry of reality TV or acting?
Okay, well, those would be definitely two totally different worlds. The reality part is, I don't know, there's not like necessarily certain steps you can take. It's kind of luck of the draw, and I don't really like to use the word luck because I'm a big believer in the law of attraction, and I believe that you can get anything you want out of life as long as you know it can happen and believe it will happen and you believe that you deserve it. So if you want, I would suggest to pick one that you want to do, which one's first, what have you. And just keep in mind that it does get more difficult to get into the acting your acting career after you do reality just because you're going to be looked at as a reality star and not be taken seriously as an actress or an actor. However, there have been people that have broken the mold, like Jamie Chung, for example, and some other people. So I would say whichever one you want to do, you don't really have to worry about so much of the how. I recommend every day, as many times a day as you can, to visualize what you want in your life. Let's say you want to be in the Real World house. That's what I did. I visualized me when I'm casting process. I was like, all right, I'm going to be in the house. I'm waking up out of my bed. I'm like closing my eyes and visualizing I'm in the house and what I visually would look like. And then, you know, eventually it happens. Like if you want to be in a movie, pick the acting road is a lot different, you know. Still, the law of attraction works all different ways, but with acting, definitely want to get a headshot, you know, get on Actors Access, put out your headshot and start building a resume with student films, independent films is how I started, and doing extra roles. I did a couple extra roles for USC out here in California when I moved here. So just stuff like doing extra work and networking and going to workshops and acting classes up in North Hollywood. North Hollywood is a spot, by the way, because it's cheap to live there. And all the coaches and acting and the workshops, a lot of stuff up there. Every time I go to an audition, it's 9 times out of 10, it's up in North Hollywood.
Oh, my.
You got to move out here, man. If you want to be an actor, you got to move out here. There's a lot of stuff going on in Atlanta, Georgia, too. So you could go out there.
Great advice, Jenny.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch that either.
I said great advice, Jenny.
I know. I'm very – thank you very much, Jenny. I don't want to take up everybody's time or anything. I just have two more simple questions, and then that's all.
Okay, go right ahead, Brian.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate it. My next question, Jenny, is being that I follow you and everything, I see that you also are working with CJ Management. Am I correct?
Which management?
CJ Management.
Oh, yeah.
No. I'm sorry if I'm not mistaken. Hello?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Are you working with any talent agency, or did you have any agency help you to get to where you are now, or would you recommend just doing it mostly on your own or working with an agency?
Well, as far as the reality, there's not any agent that I know that's going to help you get on reality. There's just agents that are like booking agents and PR people that are going to help you maximize the short time of fame that you have after your show before, you know, you kind of wither away, you know, and that's the sad truth to the whole reality thing. Unless you get another show or you do something else, what have you. I've been doing a lot of studying on what reality people do afterwards. And a lot of them do, like, clothing lines and accessory lines, whatever. But the acting thing, when I was back in Missouri, that's when I started acting, and I got with Voices And. And literally, this is interesting, I was supposed to be a model in my mind. I wasn't going to be a actress. I had no acting experience whatsoever, but I did, like, probably put in, like, 100 hours of photo shoot time. And I couldn't get any agency to sign me in Kansas City. They all told me that I looked like I would, like, sleep with all the guys on the football team, so that I was fat, so that I was trashy looking, that I was
gosh, they said that to you?
Oh, they were brutal. They were brutal.
Oh,
Kansas
my God.
City.
I know exactly what you're talking about. They told me I was short. I got to lose the lumps a little on my side. I mean, I was looking at them. I'm like, oh, my God, can this really be, like, fat? Like, severe?
I was torn apart. I remember one time I left away from the model agency crying because I was 20 years old. I was bawling crying, and I learned a lot about the industry and how anybody that's, like, especially women that are shorter with bigger breasts, bigger hips, they're going to be more into this different type of – they're not going to be in high fashion. They're going to be in glamour modeling, which there's a lot of, like a lot of sex traffic bordering, like borderline, like craziness that goes on in that industry, and I just didn't want anything to do with it. So I was like, no. I was more into, like, the beautiful art of modeling, like beautiful, crazy makeup, more like artistic stuff. And I wasn't going to get that through the agency. That's more like hobby work. There's tons of people, there's tons of photographers on Model Mayhem that will just, that would love to take pictures of you and do really cool, fun stuff. But it's more like a hobby. It's not a job, you know? It was a fun hobby, and I don't know. I went from modeling, and then somebody offered me a role in a movie. It was like a really short independent movie. It's coming out in October, and I don't know. It's just The Nightmares of Dorian Gray. That's what it's called. And
I didn't hear that. What was it called again?
It's called Nightmares of Dorian Gray. It's the first movie I'd ever been in, and it's we shot in Overland Park, Kansas, and I was a supporting role in it, and I loved acting ever since then. So, got signed with Voices And. Getting signed as an actress was so much easier than getting signed as a model. I was like, it was just too. I'm not 5'11", you know. Shit, can't do it. Can't make myself grow.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see that. So. Is there anybody else that you might be able to tell us was in the movie with you, or who was? Tell us a little bit more about this, Jenny.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that movie.
Yeah, there's a guy named Brian Busby. He's a weatherman, weather guy on one of the local news stations in Kansas City. If you just type in Brian Busby, Kansas City, B-U-S-B-Y, you'll see him. And he's like, I mean, he's a local, you know, people see him at the grocery store. Oh, you're Brian Busby. Yeah, we see you. You didn't predict the weather right today. Shame on, you know, whatever. He's a good meteorologist, whatever. I'm just saying. People know him, and that was pretty cool. It's the only person I could say that you could really, like, look up. There's another person that's my friend that I have to, I'll tweet him out that he's in the, because I can't remember his name right at the top of my head. But there's another actor friend of mine that's in that movie. And Jason Damien, D-A-M-I-E-N, he played the lead, and he was also the guy who wrote and produced the movie. So it's taken a while to get all the footage done. I'm about to release my reel here in a week or two. I just submitted all the footage to my best friend Jake, who edited my home tape, and we'll put that out in a couple weeks. I got my fight scene, my stunt scene for a web series called L.A. Shield. The timing of all this stuff is great because you can't really find anything that I've been in, but all the stuff that I've done has been in the last 6 months. So now it's all finally starting to come through, and then all the stuff will come through as the show comes on. So it's really good timing, actually.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Yes, and each one of those things is going to be a stepping stone for you.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
All of that is a stepping stone to bigger and better things. And now you have experience in movies, and that's, you know, just a stepping stone to doing a bigger movie and a bigger movie.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
I'm very happy for you, too. Oh, my God. I really hope that one day I get to follow in your footsteps and be able to achieve the greatness that you are coming to get into.
Well, Brian,
well,
what I'm going to say, don't hope, believe. Don't hope, believe, and know. There's a big difference.
Gotcha.
I don't want you to ever hope. I want you to know and believe.
I will believe. From now on, I will take that, and I will believe in myself. And because you've told me and inspired me to do this, I really appreciate it, Jenny.
You will. You're welcome.
Well, Brian,
thank you so much for calling in tonight.
No problem. Thank you very much for your time. And, Jenny, I wish you success.
Yeah.
And if I'm ever out in Hollywood, I'll definitely hit you up, and maybe we can share a coffee or something. I don't know.
Of course.
Okay, I would love that. Thank you. You have a great
night, guys.
You thank you, Brian.
Bye.
Say,
okay.
Jenny, I'm curious if you can tell me, I noticed that you said this in the first episode and the second episode, what are those common phrases that we heard out of you in the first two episodes?
We mean common phrases like my key, that, like the phrases that people keep tweeting about?
No, this is bad. This could really be bad.
Oh, that's exactly.
In reference to Corey. And then my other quick question before we take another caller is, have you ever gotten water out of the refrigerator like that before?
I'm a little weirdo when it comes to like my feet and stuff. I got it from my mom. My mom is like, she's really flexible, and she'd pick things up with her feet. Like one time we'd be driving through like Taco Bell, and she'd like give the person her the money with her toes. Like, I don't know, it's just like weird stuff that I grew up around.
So you and your mom are both double jointed then?
Not double jointed, just extremely flexible, and like can do amazing things with her feet. Just weird stuff like that.
That's great. I'm sure that you and your mom sitting around could really make some eyes pop, sitting around doing things with your feet that people wouldn't expect you to do with your feet.
I'm telling you, my mom and I should have our own reality show.
Funny.
Do you watch other reality shows, Jenny?
Yeah, one of my favorite reality shows is I Love Money on VH1. I loved all the series. That was when I started getting really into reality TV. That was like Flavor of Love, Rock of Love, Chance at Love, I Love New York. All those shows, like, God, that was a trip. The casting department was genius. Like, the people that they brought on the show were just epic. And I'm friends with Heather Crawford. She was crazy on Flavor of Love. And, you know, New York, she was the finalist with her, and then New York got her own show after that. But Heather, she lives here in L.A., and I've hung out with her a few times, and she would tell me some, like, just kind of give me insight. But she was crazy funny, and, like, just there's all these, just the people that they cast on the shows were just hilarious.
True.
Well,
they were. Those shows, there was never a dull moment.
No, hell no. It was a crazy episode.
So getting back, you mentioned the refrigerator, and it made me think, and this is kind of just some off-the-wall kind of stuff that I always wonder about. How do they stock the refrigerator for you as far as food in the real world house? Do they stock the refrigerator and provide your food, or do you guys go out and get your own food? How does that work? Do you have to buy your own food, or
you do?
You guys have to go grocery shopping.
Well, there was a few times they supplied us with food. Like then when we got into the house, there was the kitchen was stocked up. There was some we got some free Subway. We got like there was other means of getting food. Like, they have, like, snacks, like a bunch of snack food that was there all the time. It would always get replenished. But as far as, like, your produce and your meats and your cereals and your milk and eggs, all that stuff, you have to go buy, you know, to make your meals.
Interesting.
All right,
so does anybody ever get...
Does
anybody ever get aggravated, like, when, say, you for say somebody buys something and somebody else comes home loaded one night and they say, oh, that orange juice looks good, and they drink the orange juice. Is there ever any, like, arguments over, that was my orange juice, you drank it?
Oh, yeah, that happens. Like for example, when we had a that happened a lot. But what we did is when we would go to the grocery store, and we'd all have our own colors, and we would label, like, we had tape, all different colored tape, and we would label our food with our color, and that's how I was orange. So my food was labeled in orange, and if so, if it's orange and you touched it, then you're in trouble.
All right.
Interesting.
I was actually going to ask a different question about you guys going out, because I know the local communities know ahead of time that the real world's going to be in their city. And obviously they see these young 20-somethings with cameras following them around, and they know that you guys are in real world. Do you get bothered by the locals, like, going to the grocery store?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it never quit. They were always yelling. Like, they were really rude in San Francisco to us. Like, really, like, more rude than not. Like, I couldn't believe. Every day it would just shock me. Like, I don't think they genuinely hated us. I think that they just saw the camera, and when most people see the camera, they start acting crazy because they want the camera to turn to them, and the camera follows the drama. So they just wanted to get their few seconds of fame, even though we were not going to show that, you know, unless there's, like, a significant story to it that has to do with us. Like, they're not going to show that. They're not going to show some random fool coming up to the camera, hey, what's up? I'm on the real world. And then they, no, that's never going to be shown. Thanks for playing. Bye. You know, like, it's just so weird. There are people, oh, my God, it's so weird. People throwing glass at us, screaming at us, cussing at us. It was nuts.
That's got to be really interesting to go into a totally different, strange town and have, you know, that reaction from people. You know, I've been to San Fran, and one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, you know, I happen to live in the same state that you live in. You lived in Kansas City, and I'm from St. Louis. And it's been a while since I was in San Francisco, but I wanted to ask you, what was your favorite part about living out there in San Francisco for the short time that you lived there?
Well, we did take a trip out to the Lake Shasta, the Lake Shasta up north, and that was really pretty. I think that was my favorite part of San Francisco, or not, that's not San Francisco. It's my favorite part of Northern California, because it's so pretty. But as far as San Francisco goes, I think that the prettiest part was, I think the Golden Gate Bridge was really beautiful. I think I really liked Sausalito. That was awesome. Sausalito is really pretty. It's, like, really quaint. They put us on Polk Street, which is really close to the Tenderloin, which is, like, the hood of San Francisco. So we were right by all the wretchedness. Yeah, we were close. And we were not living on a residential street in a residential home. It was a renovated commercial building. So people would be walking by all the time looking in like, sis, are they going to business, you know? And things got so crazy. People would come by and just, holy crap, like, there would just be some crazy stuff that would happen through those little bars there, because it was, there was a door, well, but then there was a, like, a smoking pattern, mm-hmm. and there was bars.
Right. I was just going to say, you sitting down there in the last episode, you were sitting by the front door with Corey having a smoke, and I'm wondering, so people would wander by and press their noses up against the door window, or?
No, there wasn't any window right there. There was it was just bar, like, just like a, like we were in jail. Like there were like bars.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a barred door. So somebody could actually reach in and grab my arm, you know?
That's
one
crazy.
Other thing that is very interesting and different in this season is how much we get to see as viewers. We get to see production, and we see
that's what
the
I was
cameraman,
just
going to
ask, Paul.
The,
get out of my head.
And we see. I think somebody, a producer, was actually. We heard a producer asking Corey a question. We saw Ashley in the first episode get on the telephone, and we heard the conversation with the producers. So that is another change.
Yeah, there was another change. There was all kinds of changes. I was really surprised by that too, because I felt like during the production, during the taping, we weren't allowed to call the phone to that phone. We weren't supposed to. We joked around and called the camera sushi bar. Be like, oh, you see the sushi bar over there? Like that was. We joked around and said like Ashley would call production Baby Jesus. You know, like Baby Jesus is calling or something. It was like we had all these names for it. And, we had to stop talking about it. So I don't know when they decided that they were going to show all that production behind-the-scenes stuff. I'm wondering if they didn't decide they were going to do that until afterwards, because we weren't even allowed to talk or say the word bat phone, which is the production phone that you see Ashley pick up and say we're going to go out tonight. We weren't even supposed to talk about that phone. It was weird.
Wow.
There was a lot of things I just didn't expect in that house, like, my freedom was extremely limited, and I couldn't listen to music in the house, which, okay, let me explain to you. Ever since I knew what music was, I listened to it all the time. I'm rarely in silence. So for them to take music away from me, I would crumble and have breakdowns just because, oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know, and then it's like as this heightened, like, agitation, and then when somebody says something wrong to you or gets in your face, then you're like, okay, I'm going to really beat this motherfucker's ass because now they're in my face and I don't have my cigarette or my music to listen to, or we can't watch TV, so many things that we couldn't do. So it just kind of heightened the stress in the house.
Yes.
It was really hot in that house. The air conditioning didn't work or something, so it's always hot.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
So
you just brought up something. One of the reality shows that we are into and have been for years is Big Brother. And I don't know if you know anything about it, but when they're in the Big Brother house, they can't even sing. Not only can't they listen to music, they get called out for even singing. So there's some similarities in those restrictions. Have you ever watched that show?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And actually, ironically, I'm out here learning to be a singer, too. So I can't listen to music. I'm trying to produce music. I just downloaded a program right before I got on the show. I was learning how to make music. I was writing. I've written a lot of music in that house. And I would sing some of my own songs, but I couldn't sing any songs. I could sing my own songs because I have the copyright to my own written song that I made up. But if you were to sing another song or play another song, you have to get rights from... You know, and it's just like this random row, and it just, MTV comes up with their own, they make their own soundtrack based on artists. You know, you hear all the music. So, they weren't about the singing songs that are already written or playing songs.
Paul here is masterful at using an audio, what do you call it? An audio.
Editing. Yep.
Editing. Yes, he does. He does all of the clips here for the show, and he just is a master at it. So, if you ever need any help with that, if you ever need any help with editing or anything like that with any of your music or learning to use an editing type,
what do you use? What program do you use to make your music?
It is called Audacity. It's a free, and it takes a while. It's a learning process to get used to it, using it. But no, it's not a professional money, you know, buy the program type of thing. But I just found it. I found how to use it the best that I can. But
yeah, I'm wondering if
there are some people in the chat room that say they want to hear you sing, but I'm not going to force you to do that if you're not comfortable with it. But some fans that that love you there in the chat room, I might say. But
would you like to take another call?
Yeah.
We've got some callers stacked up on the switchboard here. Let's do this. We've got one of our regular listeners that is just waiting to talk to you. Kansas, thank you so much for calling in. How are you tonight, girl?
I'm doing great.
Jenny from Real World.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. This is cool. I can't think of it, the time that we've had somebody like you on a show that just started, and it's really cool to, like, hear what's going on and to be able to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm glad you called in.
Well, this season looks like it's going to be so good because, truthfully, I wasn't even planning on watching. I was a big Real World fan for so long, and then it started to get boring, and I really wasn't into the cast, you know, that much, and I just pretty much stopped watching. And then, you know, Cherry and Paul and people from this show were telling us, you know, the scenario of what, you know, your series was going to be about, and oh, Jenny, it's so freaking good.
Yeah, it's a way different season, I'll tell you that.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love it.
I'm glad, yeah. It's going to be, I'm hoping that we're going to, like, break some records with this season. I mean, hopefully we will. I'm pretty sure we will, since it is a whole new show.
So well, just everything that's going to be coming up.
Huh?
Kansas, do you have a question for Jenny?
I don't know if you're allowed to answer, you know, because two people that really come to mind with your series, and it has to be Heather and Corey.
Heather.
Yes.
Heather. Who's Heather?
Her name's not, oh.
Ashley, you mean?
Ashley, I'm sorry. Why am I thinking Heather? Why am I thinking Heather? Forgive me. Yes, Ashley. What in heck is up with Miss Ashley?
She is, she's just a wild one, you know? She is, I stand by her side because her and I got along really well. She didn't do anything bad to me, so some people could take what, you know, her and Corey hooking up. They didn't have sex, but you could take that however you want. And some girls would be mad at her for that, but I don't really care. I mean, it's not like Corey and I have a label or anything, you know.
Well, Corey seemed really cool until the last show. I thought he was going to be a nice guy, and then there's only two shows that we've seen so far, but the last show, it just like, and I was proud of you. You know,
thank you.
You know, as a woman, it's like, you know, I'm sorry. You speak up. I loved it. He hated it, but it's no.
Exactly.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm not going to bow down to you because you're the man and you think you're the boss. I have a mind. I'm going to speak what I want to say. I loved you. I loved that girlfriend. That was cool as hell. He's a cute guy. You know, right now I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, oh, Jenny, please don't hook up with him anymore. He's not good enough for you now. So if he changes, you know, I know you're not allowed to say what's going on.
Yeah,
Ashley, you know, the whole grease throwing thing just shocked me they didn't kick her out then and there. I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah. That was really crazy.
That's dangerous.
Yeah,
you know?
It was bad, and she doesn't remember it. Like she there's a lot of things that she did that she didn't remember the next day.
I don't know if I buy that. But Ariel, man, awesome lady.
Yeah, she
seriously
is really awesome.
Really cool. I heard you guys
she
talking
really
about
cool.
earlier. You know, I mean, the way she handled the whole thing, such a classy lady, honestly.
Yeah, she is. Definitely a stand-up girl.
Yep.
I have to just pipe in here because you brought up something about, you know, the last episode with Corey. That kind of goes along with what I was talking about the locals, because he kind of got set up by, you know, the locals in the street as he came out of the bar, and that seems to always happen in the real world where some local tries to, you know,
start
a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, you know, people are just wild, man. They see that camera and they want their 5 seconds. So they're going to do whatever it takes to get on the camera. And it took us a while to adjust to all the craziness to where we would pay them no mind, because we literally had to ignore them just so we could not have it affect our day, because it was happening constantly.
And the other part, we just brought up Ariel again, was when she was able to push and knock down Corey. I was like, whoa.
Wow, I know, honestly. She's cool. I really like Ariel.
Yeah, she's a beast. Beast mode.
He just, I mean, what the hell? He just went crazy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he has a switch. He's Corey's just Corey, man. When he gets mad, he gets really pissed.
Well, we do have, and I don't want this other caller to miss out.
I agree. So thank you, Kansas. If you want to stay on and listen, please do. We do have another caller that's been holding for quite some time.
Well, good talking to you, Jenny.
Thank you.
And
thank
I'm
you
looking
so much
forward
for
to
you.
Looking forward to this. It looks like it's going to be a great season. Thank
oh,
you for coming
is.
On and talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank
bye
you.
Bye
bye. Bye bye.
Okay, we've got another call waiting on hold. We have Aaron, and my switchboard is not, I'm having trouble with my switchboard here. Paul, you're going to have to pick the call up. I can't.
And we have Aaron from Oregon that is now live on the air with us. Welcome, Aaron.
Hi.
Hi,
first off, I just want to say, Jenny, you're amazing on the real world. You're my favorite.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot to me. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I have a few questions for you. First, how was your experience on the real world, and like, what do you guys like do during the day?
During the day, the experience was definitely different, a lot different than what I thought it was going to be like, just with all the changes this year with the phones and that we got, and then also you have the people who are. The extras coming in, and there was all these surprises. So it was a lot different than what I expected. During the day, there was actually this little book that we chose things to do from, and we would call production and ask them if we can go. And we tried to schedule a lot of things, but we were there. You know, we didn't have TV, we didn't have music, so there's a lot of, like, what do? We're forced to, like, socialize. We can't, like, we went out every night. During the day, we'd go the pier, we'd go on tours, we would Ashley and I went to Chinatown. We did a bunch of random, crazy, weird stuff.
That's cool, yeah. I have another question for you. How was bringing home Doug that night?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How was bringing home Doug that night?
Doug!
How did Doug come home that night?
Yeah.
Okay, well, We were at the club, obviously, and I met Doug through Ashley introduced me to Doug, and Ashley's just kind of like a little butterfly. She kind of goes around and talks to a bunch of people, kind of like me. We have a lot in common. And so I was chatting with him, and I wasn't trying to hook up with him or anything like that. I had just heard that he was already invited by somebody else back to the house. So I'm like, okay, cool. And then Ashley jumps in the bus, jumps in the taxi to give Corey a lap dance. Well, I'm going, where the hell is everybody at? And, like, I'm here with Doug, and I'm like, okay. So then he comes back to the house with me. and it just looked really bad. But I was just trying to be a friendly person, and I didn't want to rob him of an experience to see the house. You know what I mean? But like, I'm also not. It looks bad, and I feel really bad, but there's nothing wrong with him back hanging out with us.
I have to say, Jenny, you don't need to say it looked bad, because I thought you were as courteous as you could possibly be in a very awkward situation. And
yes, for sure.
And it was supposed to be like, we're not supposed to have guests past certain time, and the time was, it was like, it was getting really late. And that's, like, also the thing at the house. Like, are any guests that we have at the house have to leave at a certain time? And I'm just like, it's time for you to go. Like, I can't really, like, you know what I mean? I was like, shit.
Yeah.
I can do anything. I can say whatever I want. But I'm just saying, there is a filter there that you don't want to be rude to people. You know? So I'm like, shit, what am I going to do? But everybody was supposed to get in that hot tub. And then for some reason, I don't know what happened to everybody else. I'm like, what the hell? This is not panning out how I was expecting this to pan out.
Yeah. Well, that's all the questions I have for you. I was just
calling
to see
so much
how the experience was and everything. But it was great talking to you, and I look forward to seeing how your future goes out, and I thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you
so much for calling in.
Okay, thank you, and see you later.
Bye.
Take care, bud.
Bye.
Hey, I know we've been on a while, but I have to make sure I get this question for myself. Looked at the end of last episode, we saw a little quick montage of when the exes do show up. Did I catch you slapping Brian across the face?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah, you did. And there's more where that came from. I'll tell you that much. They didn't even show half of it, man. It gets ridiculously stupid. Like, it gets so. I haven't been that angry and pissed off and violent. Like, I mean, that was. I haven't been violent like that in a long time. It gets bad. It gets bad.
Well,
wow.
We're not going to put you in a position, an awkward, position to tell us what happens later on. But I saw that, and I actually slowed down the clip, and I went frame by frame, and I go, that's not Corey. And I said, okay, I got to find a picture of Brian. And I thought, that's Brian. And she just, that was.
Laid it on.
That just whetted my whistle or whatever, piqued my interest for the season again, as if it didn't need any more peaking. But
it was eventful. You'll just have to see, man. It just. I wish I could tell you all the crazy stuff, but I mean, the camp. You'll see on the show.
Well, we
Absolutely.
Did also look ahead, and some of us saw that, like a week ago, that the episode coming up next was called The Departure, and we all were speculating that it was probably Ashley getting drunk and, having to leave the house, but unfortunately it looks like, and you don't have to tell us either, unfortunately it looks like it has something to do with Jay and getting a call from home, so... It's a 90-minute episode, too, for next week, I believe.
It is?
Yeah.
Why am I the last to know everything? Jeez. I mean, they tell them, I swear, like we're all like, oh, I heard this, and we're like, what? I didn't know, we don't get filled in until, the last minute. That's kind of like the whole theme of everything. We don't know a lot of things until the last minute. We don't know we're going to the real world until the day of, Hey, you're leaving tonight. Yeah. So. Congratulations.
Now, Cherry is a huge dog lover. I am a dog lover as well, and I thought it was hilarious and cute when you said, oops, excuse me. There's another J. I wrote down, and it was Jamie. Jamie said, Tom is a puppy that needs to be trained. I was thinking that was your quote, but it wasn't. So I'm embarrassing myself right now.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I have a good transition into that because I am actually an advocate for ASPCA. I'm a big animal lover. I have it. Like, if there's anything that's going to piss me off more than anything, there's two things that piss me off: a man raping a woman and somebody abusing an animal. There are two things that I just, or harming a baby. Those are the ones that, I'm sorry, that's not like, but those are the top two on my mind a lot of times that hits home for me. And I'm on this app called Tanglist, and I was working for them for a short period of time before the show, and now I do live broadcasts on there where people can tune in and chat with me, and there's three-minute, 6-minute, and 9-minute broadcasts you can do. But anyway, before the show, they asked me, from now until Christmas, like 10 days before Christmas, for every follower you get, you'll get $1 to be donated to a charity of your choice. And I chose ASPCA. So I'm currently trying to get with them because I want to spend, I want to donate money and I want to donate a lot of time to them and really use my fame to, you know, increase awareness about animal cruelty and puppy mills. And I want to put an end to puppy mills, and there's a lot of things that I'm passionate about with animals.
Missouri is the largest puppy mill.
I know. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. And we were looking for an Italian greyhound, and we actually called about a puppy. And these people talked to us like we were going to see a puppy in their living room. You know, they said that they had the mother and father there and made it sound like, you know, we were just going to go and see the family of, you know, mother, father, and puppies in their living room. We drove an hour and a half to go see this puppy, and it turned out to be a puppy mill.
Oh,
and I was never
God.
So sick to my stomach.
Bring your shotgun.
Oh, seriously. My gosh, Jenny, it was so disgusting.
It is disgusting.
It was horrible. And then you're in this horrible position of, do I pay this outrageous fee for this puppy who they had had in a cage for 5 months. It was 5 months old.
Oh.
And its foot was already starting to become deformed because it was in a wire crate for so long.
Oh, my God.
And rescue it out of there, or what do I do? And my thing was, if I paid to get this puppy out, I am basically helping them keep the puppy mill going. And so I was very torn about what to do. So I cried all the way home, and then I sat for 3 days calling everybody I could possibly think of to report them.
There was a vote in Missouri a couple of, like, how many years ago? Three years ago. I'm guessing. I don't remember. It was like a few years ago, but it was a vote to get rid of puppy mills, and it didn't pass. I was really shocked and pissed about that. I don't think it didn't pass because of popular vote. I think it didn't pass because of lobbyists and, you know, special interests, and that really pissed me off.
Right. It's the lobbyists. And the reason why that is because the lobbyists, you know, the puppy mills have wives that are up there being lobbyists. And it's disgusting. It's just, they have so much money wrapped into it that, oh, it's so hard to get around. And
well, just know, and most puppies that are sold in stores, they come from a puppy mill. So do not buy puppies from any kind of store that sells animals, because they're supporting the puppy mills. And I suggest that you pick up a stray from your local shelter. All my animals that I've ever owned have came to me from the streets, and obviously they came to me for a reason. They were my guardian angel. I was their guardian angel. Like, whatever. Like, I never owned it. I never bought an animal. I've always just picked some up off the street, and they've been great.
Yeah, we actually rescued two little Italian greyhounds from the Italian Greyhound Rescue. They're 6 years old. They were little sisters.
Right.
that had lived their lives together, and then somebody had to give them up, and they had them in separate foster homes. And my husband and I decided to rescue them and put them back together. Our house burned down almost a year ago. It'll be 1 year ago next Tuesday. Our home burned down, and our little Italian greyhound perished in the fire. And
oh, my God.
It's so hard for me to talk about, but we figured that that's something she would have wanted us to do.
Yeah.
Was put these little sisters back together and let them live out their lives together. And so I feel like, you know, we've done something that she would have wanted us to do. And so we have our little Italian greyhounds, and it's hard, you know, to start over and have not have our little Chloe with us. But we had her for 9 years, and to lose her like that was so hard. But
they're like,
we have an Afghan hound as well. They are. We never had kids, so they literally were our kids. I mean, she had more clothes than most children do. The last time I counted her coats, and that this was like 2 years before she perished, she had 35 coats, and we probably added another dozen before, you know, the last time I counted. And so you had 35 coats. And what kind of dog has that many? I mean, she was so spoiled. She had a whole dresser full of clothes. And
that's cute.
So, I mean, well, they're skinny little dogs, you know. She was 11 pounds. And they're very skinny. They don't have any body fat whatsoever. And they're just skinny little lap dogs. And we spoiled her rotten. And we were able to get our Afghan hound out of the house, but she ran and hid, and we couldn't find her. And we had to finally get out of the house. The flames were just so big. And it was a horrible situation, but we're bouncing back from it and moving forward. So.
That's right. Speaking of dogs, I just saw in the news today that the Westminster Dog Show is going to include in some of the competitions, not the best in show, but they're including mixed breeds, mutts. Did you see that, Cherry?
No, I didn't.
That's interesting. That's good, though, because, you know, the more you breed an animal without getting a wide variety of genes, the more you're basically retarding the animal. It's like people who, it's almost like incest, borderline incest, because the more variety of genes that you get in any kind of species, the better. It creates a better system and creates a larger chance of surviving. It's not healthy to just like breed and breed and breed and breed with the same purebred.
All right. We're getting some background noise somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, I think it's because there's people around me.
Oh. Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah. It looks like we have another caller. I haven't screened the call yet.
Well, it's... I'll screen it quick.
Okay. Let's see. I think I have some other cars. I had, believe it or not, Jenny, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me during a show. My internet went down during the show, so if I got kind of quiet there for a moment, my internet went down in the middle of our show. Can you believe that? I know. I had to grab my backup internet connection and plug back in. So we had talked a bit about Corey, and I was wondering what you were thinking when you saw him sort of change his temperament and go into the other side of Corey when you saw his temper come out.
I was really taken aback by it. I can't say I was really surprised, only because I've been in a lot of abusive relationships in my past, and been through a lot of crazy shit. I've been, you know, a part of domestic violence, so I seem to attract guys with tempos, and I'm trying to get away from that. So I was really upset because I felt like him and I were, like, building something, even though it was only a week or two in. I just felt like we were really building a relationship here, and seeing him get so so strung out over something that I felt like was so small made me worry that, you know, he was just like all the other guys that I dated in my past, and it's just kind of be
right. Well, hopefully it was a learning situation for him, and he can, you know, see, you know, what it looked like. I don't want to run out of time before somebody that says they're from the Kansas City area and has talked with you before. Her name is Angie, just called in.
Okay.
Let's bring her up.
Hey, Jenny, it's Angie Lawson.
What's up? How are you?
I'm good. I have to be in my pods with you all the time.
Yeah, I'm glad you keep calling in. I'm glad.
I loved last night's episode. You're awesome. You're so mature. I'm so proud to see that you're...
Thank you.
That you held your head up high and you didn't give in to all that crap. My question is tonight, what did you think about being on The Soup? It actually pissed me off.
Oh, why?
Because you said out of context, and, you know, most people, they do that because they're trying to make them look like an idiot or a dumb blonde or what have you. But,
yeah.
You know, the whole conversation I thought was a great conversation, and they just took a snippet of it. And so I didn't really get to you, huh?
No, not at all. I would rather have it the way it was than for me to not be on there at all. Just because the fact that I'm on there, it explains that I'm relevant, you know, in the reality TV. I mean, otherwise they could have chosen any other clip, you know, from the show, but they chose me. So I felt honored. And I know that they make fun of everybody, you know, so
yeah,
it could have been a lot worse, you know. I found it hilarious. I was happy about it.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that you are got some thick skin there, honey. I would have been a little upset, but hey, I guess any publicity is good publicity to get your name out there.
I'm a big fan of that show anyway, so I'm always
happy. I am too, but usually the people that they do that to are kind of ditzy, and you're far from that.
Well, we'll let America be the judge of that, you know what I'm saying? I'm just happy to be honest.
Right. And going back to the last conversation about I do pet rescue too. I don't think I told you that, but I have eight rescues right now at this time. And I've had three.
That's a lot.
Puppy mills, yes. Well, half of them are under, four of them make 20 pounds. So,
they must be tiny ones.
Yeah, two or four, 1'7", 1'10". But they, two of my dogs have come from puppy mills, and they're horrible to potty train, but the look in their eyes when they feel like they can trust you is priceless. So
yeah, it is priceless.
I'm making my little stamp in, you know, stomping out that puppy mills up, and I do have an 800 number if you guys are interested at all, or anybody's listening. If you suspect a puppy mill, the number is 800-392-8222.
Awesome.
Because, you know, I live in actual Kansas, but I do work with Missouri quite a bit to try to prevent puppy mills and breaking them up. So,
I'm so glad to have all these Midwest girls on the air tonight. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Missouri, awesome. Actually, Pennsylvania is the top number one, and Missouri is number two, and Texas is number three.
Mm. Wow, yeah, so somebody actually climbed over Missouri.
Yes, Pennsylvania. A lot of the shows that you see about the stories are from Pennsylvania. But Missouri has their share. Kansas is very strict
horrible.
On their rules.
It's really horrible. I just wish that every dog could be as spoiled as mine aren't. And we wouldn't have any problem with puppy mills.
I know. Five dogs tonight.
I wish they could all be so spoiled.
When are you coming to town? Are you going to be here tomorrow during the day? Are you there now?
I'm catching a flight tomorrow morning, so I'll be there for the Miller Lite event tomorrow. I think that is the Fire and Light. And we're going to be doing.
Oh yeah.
Brian's going to be there too. People are going to be competing to win a date with Brian and I.
Oh, yeah?
And it's the release of the 80s cans, Miller Lite 80s cans. So it's gonna be a wild, crazy good time.
Oh, sounds like it. I heard Rocket and Teresa, they're gonna be there for you. That's a local DJ here.
Yeah, I was on the radio. I heard it. Yeah.
You're awesome.
Thank you.
That is so cool. And also, I could set it up if you want to do, like, some kind of fundraising for a pet rescue here in Kansas City. I could set that up if you want to do that.
Yeah, I do.
Can
get I really
with the
do.
People. Yeah, there's
yeah,
one up north of the river at Zona, I think it's at Zona Rosa. They're
okay.
All over the place. So I'll get with them and get with you, Jenny.
I appreciate that a lot.
All righty. Well, I'll let you go, and I hope you have a good flight tomorrow, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Angie.
Thanks for calling you, Angie. Well, you've had some great callers tonight, Jenny.
Yeah.
And just a few more questions that I think Paul and I wanted to possibly go over with you. I wanted to find out, you know, what's in store for you now? What are your aspirations? What are you doing now? What do you hope to do? That kind of thing. What's your future look like?
Well, I would like to make an album, make some music. I just started doing some singing lessons. I was in an honor choir in high school, and I sang, and I we actually went and did contests, you know, and we won. I don't remember exactly what we won or whatever, but I know that we were good enough to get on to go to Carnegie Hall in New York and sing. However, it was going to cost $1,000 for me to go, and I don't come from money, so I didn't get to go. But I did have the opportunity to go. I wish that would have been great on my resume, but I'm also working on a movie. And we're still in the pre-production process, but I will have my reel out. Oh, we talked about that already. But yeah, I'm working on a movie right now, and then I would like to maybe even ask the fans if you know, any songwriting fans, if they want to enter a contest and I can sing one of their songs. I'm just working on, I feel like there's a lot of work I need to do in making music and singing and dancing. I'm actually on my way to a dance class right now in Culver City. So I'm trying to just practice the singing and dancing thing and the acting thing. I'm ready to dive in. Of course, I can never stop improving. So there's going to be a movie coming out, and then also I'd like to make an album and then kind of see what sticks, whether it's going to be the acting or the singing or dancing. I'm not 100% sure which direction I want to hit head 100% in.
What kind of music do you do?
I have this program, it's called Ableton, and I've been messing around with beats, like trying to make like some EDM beats. If you've ever heard Jessica Ware, but Jessica Ware is W-A-R-E as an Edward. And
right.
Her music is very similar to the kind of music I want to make. It's a mixture of some funk from the 70s, mixed with some R&B, also mixed with some EDM house music. So it's a really cool, unique mixture, and I want to do that with music. I want to make some new music no one's ever heard of before.
That sounds interesting. I'd love
it's
to
like
hear
a
your
jazzy
voice.
Vocal.
So as soon as you get the album out, please, you know, come back and let us know so we can promote that. And then when the movie comes out, same thing. Let us know. Come back on and let us know. And, you know, we'd like to let all the fans know. So
we can put the word out there and people can, you know, check the movie out as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be honored to come back and talk about it.
Yeah, we want to certainly, you know, keep the fans, you know, informed on what you're up to and what's going on in your life, and make sure that they're all aware, you know, of when your movie's available and when you're, you know, doing things. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that is that you're doing tomorrow night? You mentioned it a little bit with Angie, but...
It's a event at Town Life. This Town Life District is basically a big block downtown, in the heart of downtown, where it's like a bunch of bars and clubs and very metropolitan. And there's Ed McFadden, which is a sports bar down there. We're going to be Miller Lite, slash Blue Light, is hosting the event. And it's an 80s party. So there's going to be people there dressed up like the 80s, I'm sure. And we're going to be celebrating the 80s can release, like the old school 1980s Miller Lite can. And so it's going to be $3 Miller Lite. And then Brian and I will be on a stage hosting this little show called, it's like a Love Connection show, where people are going to be competing to win dates with Brian and I. And then we're going to head over to PBR, which is a country bar, where they have like a bull. Maybe I'll ride the bull, maybe not. Maybe I will, you know. And just have a good time. That's going to be where our date's going to be at with the winners of the contest.
That's so incredible. That's really, you know, a fun thing to do. Do you ever worry that maybe the date, let me ask this first. Where are you going on the date?
I'm just going to be at PBR, Big Sky. It's a bar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a bar in Town Lake, the same area as McFadden, the sports bar. And that's what we're going to have our date at. We're going to have bottle service there. Get crazy.
So do you worry that what if the person that gets your date could be like a creep?
I don't know. I'm not worried about it. I don't think they'll worry.
I think from what we've seen already, Jenny can handle almost any situation. She's a pretty strong woman.
I think she can.
Kind of situation. She'll
hand him his beer with her foot.
Yeah, there you go.
One thing I really enjoy is your sense of humor and your quick wit. I mean, you get a lot of airtime because of that, in my opinion. You are just, I mean, your timing is so good. Think about the when you took that tour fire truck over, you know, to Sausalito, and the conversation turned to numbers of sex partners, and they were all answering, and you just kind of was a pause. None of your business. I mean, the timing is everything. The other thing I want to ask before you go is, are you keeping up with your fellow castmates? Or a lot of them are kind of in the LA area, or at least a few of them were.
Corey lives here, and he lives in Santa Monica, which is close to LA. I live downtown LA, pretty much. Like Koreatown's like right there. So I live more like the city. He lives in Santa Monica, which is a big city.
Oh, yeah.
But we're close. And then Ariel is up there, or is in Oakland. So we got some people on the East West Coast. I keep up with them. I stay in contact with Ashley, Ariel, Corey, and Jay a lot. Jamie and Tom, we don't really talk much, but they're a couple of us, you know, so they're going to be all up each other's butt. So that's cool.
Well, this has been I was just going to say, for me personally, this has been a treat. Time has flown by. I really appreciate the time that you gave us tonight, Jenny.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
We certainly appreciate it, and we want you to come back later in the season so we can talk with you a little bit more after more has happened, because, you know, we're just a few weeks in, and we can't talk about so much right now, but we know that there's so much more to unfold, so we want to invite you to come back later on in the season so we can let more questions unfold, because this has just been one of our, you know, favorite seasons of Real World, and this is something so new to Real World with the X's coming in, and we know that there's going to be a lot we want to ask you later on, and we'd love to invite you to come back.
Awesome. I'd be more than happy to.
Great.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, we certainly appreciate you sharing your night with us. People in the chat room are saying thank you. And is there anything that you would like to promote before you go? Anything that you're doing other than what you're doing tomorrow night?
Well, the main thing I want people to look out for my reel. I'll be tweeting it out. I'll let everyone know when it's available. It'll be on my website, and I'll put it on YouTube, too. But it'll be available on my website. It's at jennydelich.com. And there you can see pictures from, like, previous photo shoots, artistic stuff I've done with, like, hair and makeup. A lot of hair and makeup I did myself. So just support local artists. I don't know where that came from. I guess because I don't know. That's so random. Support local artists. Woo!
Okay. One thing I wanted to say before you go, we are going to be having a show coming up where somebody that is in the business of promoting reality people and promoting people in the business, come on and tell them how to go further, how to do sizzle reels, and how to get your ideas promoted, how to get shows promoted, how to, you know, break into the business, that sort of thing. So, you know, keep in touch, and
yes,
maybe, you know, something could work out from that. We're going to have lots of contact info coming out on this show about how people can break into the reality business, how they can break into regular show business, all of that coming out on the Rad Reality Show. So we've got somebody who's a casting director, not only for reality but for regular showbiz as well, and she's going to be coming on and, you know, picking a topic once a month, I believe, and talking about how to get into the business. And so it'll
awesome.
Be real interesting. And she does the sizzle reels, you know, so that everybody can afford it. I mean, some businesses charge so much money for those things. And she's right out there in your area, actually. And she does it very reasonably, and she's amazing. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to having, you know, all this information go out, and hopefully a lot of people will benefit from it. I know that, you know, there's some people out there that, you know, want to do more in TV, and they don't really know exactly how to go about it, how to get the sizzle reels done, or how to get, you know, exactly in front of, you know, the right people. And if we can put somebody, you know, on air that can help people do that,
that's great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Jenny, thank you so much for coming on tonight. It has been so much fun talking to you. And as I said,
I want you
to come back on real soon and talk to us later in the season so we can just chat about after the exes are in the house and what goes down a little bit later in the season.
Absolutely.
Well, I wish you all the best, and in everything that you do, Jenny. You're such a positive inspiration. I think you're going to go amazing places. All the very best to you in everything you do. Thank you so much for coming on tonight to the Rad Reality Show. Would you mind saying, while before you leave air, that you were on the Rad Reality Show and you had a blast?
Yes. Thank you guys so much for having me on the Rad Reality Show, and it's been a blast, and I appreciate it. I'm going to tweet it out when we get off.
All right. Thank you so much, Jenny. Have a great
thank
night.
You.
I'll talk to you soon. We'll have you back soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care, hon.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What a pleasure she is.
excuse me. Hard to say goodbye.
I know. She is a doll. And I can't wait to have her back. You know, The Real World has only been on for, what, 2 weeks?
2 episodes. Yeah.
Yeah, 2 episodes. So, we're limited in how much we can ask her. But it's so nice of her to come on and talk with us. So,
well, I think we learned a lot.
When we have her back, we'll be able, right, when we have her back, we'll be able to talk about so much more, though. You know, after,
yeah.
You know, later in the season,
we learned
we'll be able
a lot
to talk
about her
a lot
too.
More.
And what really brought me joy is her love of animals. I just loved hearing about that. I know that touched you as well.
Absolutely, and obviously, you know, some of her biggest fans are animal advocates too. With Angie calling in, 8 fosters at once. That is a true animal lover. That's amazing.
Now,
I give
Angie
all the props for doing that. Fostering is very difficult.
Yeah.
To take them in and then let them go. You know,
that's the hardest part. My nephew has done that for years, and he's had a few where he couldn't give them back. I mean, he ended up keeping them, but he's done that for a long, long time. But I'm just curious. Angie said that 4 of her dogs added up to 20 pounds, which would be 5 pounds each. How much do Italian Greyhounds weigh, just so I get a picture of size?
The smallest one, Ari, she just looked at me because I said her name. she weighs she's a very, very small Italian Greyhound, though. She weighs almost 7 pounds. And
wow.
And Stella weighs about 8 pounds.
So
Angie had these two are very small.
Angie had some little ones, you know, for 5 pounds each.
Yeah, I don't know what breed hers was.
No, we didn't get into that, but
hers could be Chihuahuas or possibly
pocket poodles,
Yorkies.
There you go.
I mean, there's a lot of breeds that are very tiny. For Italian Greyhounds, these two little girls are very small. Chloe was just over 11 pounds. And
oh, okay.
That's more average for an IG.
Sure.
But they're taller than you would expect because they have very long, skinny little legs. with absolutely nothing to them. They're just tiny little skinny legs. they run like the wind. They make your home a racetrack. but they're wonderful little dogs. They're they were bred to be lap dogs. That was what they were bred for. Many dogs have a purpose of, like, chasing, you know, rodents or digging or, you know, doing some other type of, you know, function. Italian greyhounds were bred specifically to be a lap dog. And that's what they do best. They are a person's pet. Just a companion dog.
Right. I'm looking at the clock and it's, I'm switching subjects here, but just, you know, before we run out of time, we often do comment on the news of people we know passing, and we found out today that the professor from Gilligan's Island and also the Partridge Family manager passed away today. Had you heard that news?
I heard the first one. Who did you say the second one was?
The Partridge Family had that guy who was their manager, Kincaid, I think was his name, and he managed the singing group in the Partridge Family. Did you watch that show?
Okay, yes. So I know who you're talking about now. I hadn't heard that one. I did hear about the professor.
Yeah.
I also want to send our prayers out to our regular listener. Many of our listeners know him. He's a regular caller on our show, Mr. Chi-Town Joe. Asked for prayers for his mom. His mom is back in the hospital. And just want everyone to keep his mom in their prayers. His mom has been in and out of the hospital quite frequently recently, and she's not doing very well, so please keep his mom in your prayers. Today is also the anniversary of his sister's passing, so poor Chi-Town Joe is really having a rough time, so keep him in your prayers as well. You know, he's a dear, dear friend of our show and a very dear friend to myself and Paul, and we certainly pray that things will get better for him and his mom.
Yes.
So don't want to get down too far, but just keep him in your thoughts and prayers. Anyway, I want to say hi to Bethany, who finally made it in our chat room tonight. And hi to all of our podcast listeners who weren't able to make it here live tonight, but will listen to the show a little bit later. Thank you so much for listening to the show.
Yes, we always should. I think we do this pretty regularly, but a lot of thanks to those that listen via podcast, because there's a bunch, let me tell you.
There is. They listen to us as they're at work or driving to and from work or doing whatever they do, but for whatever reason, they can't make it here for the live show. Maybe they're at work and they listen when they get home.
Right.
But they can't make it here to the live show, so they listen to us when it's more convenient for them. And that's great. We love that. Keep listening. And we think of you often, and we know who you are because you write and talk to us and tell us. And we love you so much.
We do. And as we normally on this Thursday talk about a bunch of reality shows, we certainly didn't have time to do that tonight. It was filled with the real world, and it was fine. I just want to mention for those that like the train wreck that Welcome to Myrtle Manor was last season, that debuted tonight. And then tomorrow night on TNT is APB with Troy Dunn, and Jerry and I talked about him on the on a previous show. So And then my big redneck vacation is not coming back, but my big redneck family debuts Saturday night on CMT. They're staying in town.
Tomorrow is also the Golden Collar.
Oh, yes. Thank
oh, the
you.
Diamond Collar, I'm sorry. The Diamond Collar on the OWN Network, the Oprah Winfrey Network. Diamond Collar, which is about, of course,
dogs.
Dog rescue or an animal rescue, and they have a grooming salon, and he was originally a mob enforcer, and he was rescued by a rescue dog, and now he's a kind soul who goes out there and rescues animals. And so I'm really looking forward to finding out what that show is going to be all about. And
there's another show that Thomas brought up that I don't watch, but apparently it was on MTV last season, and Fantasy Factory. I just can't add all these shows to my watching list. Just for those that had watched the previous season, apparently a new season is coming up for that too. So thanks, Thomas.
And next week, we are going to have Alex from Ice Road Truckers. For those of you who watch Ice Road Truckers, you know who Alex is. Make sure you tune in next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Come and say hi to Alex from Ice Road Truckers. He's a great guy. I can't wait to talk to him. Talk about somebody who has nerves of steel to drive across the frozen tundra like they do on Ice Road Truckers. OMG, I'm so looking forward to talking to him and finding out all of the ins and outs of how they drive across that ice and do what they do.
That's going to
be a great interview too.
I'm curious if one of that show's biggest fans will have to work that night.
Pardon me?
I was saying I'm wondering if one of that show's big fans has to work that night, or will he be able to call in and talk, talking about Rich?
Oh, he'll probably have to work. But I watch too, and I'm certainly looking forward to it.
I know you do, but you'd mentioned how much he loved that show as well. Maybe you need to get some questions from him that you could.
Right. All right, well, I think this has been a wrap for tonight. I want to thank everyone again, all the people in our chat room, and those who listened live to us tonight, those who called in, asked any questions, and those who will be listening later in podcast. Thank you so much for choosing the Rad Reality Show. And we want you to join us on Monday for the Manic Monday show with Michelle Costa, our Portuguese princess. She always has an epic show. She was not here with us this past Monday, but she will be back this Monday. And I'm so looking forward to finding out how much fun she had while she was with her dad and daughter date with Papa Costa. So we'll find out that on Monday. She was at the WWE Raw with Papa Costa. And so come back on Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. We will talk to you then. I'm going to close with Ron, as I always do. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take care. God bless. And be kind to each other. Here's Ron to close the show. Good night, everyone.
Tonight, it was a great show. And
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
Well, there's no space and time. I love you for my life. Darling, you're a friend of mine. When my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I was singing this song for you. We were alone, I was singing this song for you. We were alone, I was singing this song. Singing this song for you.
So, thank you guys. Love you.
Thank you all again so very much. As I said, God bless. Have a great weekend. Take care and be kind to each other. Say goodnight, Pa.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Sherry.
Good night.